This is the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, Friday edition, here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Dan and Ian are here with me, and we got a couple of guests who are joining us today, one of whom is the star of a movie called Inner World. Now, whenever, every time an announcer says Inner World, you have to say it that way because of the guy who created that phrase and made it famous in thousands of movie trailers, a guy by the name of Don LaFontaine, who died 5 years ago this weekend, wow. September 1st, 2008. A couple of months before that, he appeared on this show. And a few years before that, I had him on my show. But when he was on this show, he recorded an intro that is now part of this show every day.
In a world of mundane talk radio, where they speak of nothing but politics and health tips, thank goodness for the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Now, there's a new movie called Inner World, which I mentioned last Friday I had seen and loved. I think it's the funniest movie I've seen this year. And it stars the woman who wrote and directed the movie, Lake Bell. And one of her co-stars in that movie is a gentleman by the name of Fred Melamed, who is an actor and a voiceover guy for many, many years. And in the movie, the concept of the movie is, who is going to kind of be the new Don LaFontaine for another big, epic Hunger Games-like movie. Fred joins us now live this afternoon. Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, and it's a great pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks. It's great to have you on. Fred is also sitting in the home studio of an old friend of mine who is another voiceover guy known for his work in TV as the voice of The Simpsons and other sitcoms on Fox, as well as the sitcoms that air on CBS, and that's Joe Cipriano. Hi, Sip. How are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. Thank you very much. You know, you always team me up with these guys with these beautiful, deep voices. Gee, thanks.
You know, it's that leads to a very good first question here, which is, with your basso profundo voice there, Fred, and with your not-so-basso profundo voice, Sip, is it possible, Fred, for you to be the voice of sitcoms and, Sip, for you to be the voice of an Inner World epic trailer?
I think it's possible. I think if the sitcom has a certain kind of edge and they require a kind of pompous read, I think I might sneak one in there. And I think likewise, Joe is. I think there's probably a little more versatility than you might imagine from both of us, I would say.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, actually, Paul, I did do drama promos for NBC back around 2007 for about a year and a half. Uh-huh. And no one knew that it was me at the time. It was such a different voice, and I loved doing it. It was, talk about anonymity. It was great.
I actually have a little sample of each of your work here. I'm going to play a little bit.
Oh, my.
Let's hear a little bit of Sip, because you'll hear him doing a couple of different voices. Go ahead.
Tonight, make a resolution to watch TV's number one comedy.
What's going on out here?
Two and a Half Men.
Alan Wake, take me with you!
The first new episode of the year.
This might have been the worst date of my life.
Did she talk you into putting on one of Mom's dresses while she stole your wallet?
No.
Well, then this wasn't even your worst date this month.
Tonight at 9, 8 Central, only CBS.
Animation Domination presents a quadruple feature.
Woo-hoo!
That'll make you laugh so hard, you're going to get halves of steel.
What's going on, B-minus?
See bone-shattering action and dangerously hot romance.
No!
No, Peter, that's not your catchphrase.
It all starts this Sunday, 8, 7 Central on Fox.
That's Joe Cipriano, voice god. And here's a little bit of Fred Melamed.
From the killing fields of Cambodia to the fields of fire in Kuwait, from the devastation of Oklahoma City to a rebirth of hope in the Middle East, experience CBS News.
Power and might of Tony Baltazar, the fighting machine of Sammy Fuentes. When the smoke clears, one man will be the new WBA junior welterweight champ. Wednesday, the big hurt. He's the big stick in the Southside batting brigade. The NFL on CBS, the way it should be.
Week after week, Up All Night has found some way to torture Gilbert Gottfried. Well, tonight, we're proud to say that we're tired of these juvenile antics. Yes, we're finally just going to electrocute the bastard and be done with it.
That is great, great
I'm proud to say I wrote that one, too.
You wrote that.
Gilbert was my friend. We had a show called Up All Night on USA Network. This is many years ago, and I got to write it.
Wow, that's cool.
Fred, let's talk about the movie, which I liked so much. And Sip will tell you this. When I came home from the movie an hour later, I said, I got to email Sip about this, because I saw him making a little cameo appearance in that. But you're actually the co-star of the movie. And tell the audience the plot of the movie and your role in it.
Sure, gladly. As everybody, I think, knows from your lavish introduction, Don LaFontaine was, in his time, the undisputed heavyweight champ of the voiceover world, particularly the world of movie trailers, which is kind of the highest level to which the cream rises in the business, I would say. Nobody else could compete with him in terms of popularity, in terms of money earned, all these things. The movie begins with the actual real-life death of Don LaFontaine. And there's a big question in the business, in this little cadre of people that do voiceovers here in L.A., who will inherit this mantle? Who's it going to be? Who's going to be the big star? The presumption is, my presumption is, as kind of the second guy, the second, you know, the second banana, that it's going to be me. I play a well-known voiceover guy, although I kind of never in real life lived up to the glory of Don LaFontaine, both in my own mind and probably everybody else's. Lake Bell plays my daughter. And she also has a remarkable gift for accents, dialect work, voices in general. But I'm such a vain father and so riddled with insecurity that I've discouraged her from trying to really succeed in this business. I've consigned her to the world of being an accent coach. That is, when somebody needs to work on their Cockney accent or their Southern accent, she works with them. But she doesn't really get to be a star in the world of voiceovers. And it's primarily because I've stood in her way.
Mm-hmm.
So in the movie, I throw her out of the house where she's been living, which is my house, so my little chippy girlfriend can move in with me, and she has to fend for herself. And in the course of fending for herself, she begins to become something of a star in this world that I have denied her. She becomes a real kind of a voiceover star. And it's about it takes place in this world of voiceovers, but it's really a more sort of universal story about somebody who's been discouraged both by the prejudices of the world that we live in and by her own father, kind of trying to strike back and make it on her own in spite of her own misgivings. That's really what the movie's about.
I love the scene in which you tell her that she is not going to be living there anymore. In fact, we have a clip from that portion of the movie. Here it is.
It's great.
Where is the groupie anyway? What, is she busy at a smiling convention somewhere?
Jamie is doing reshoots for a Ziploc commercial she got.
Jesus, that girl is bad news, Dad. I mean, sir. Honestly, she smells like Lifesavers, and she has a Midwestern accent, unironically. Moreover, she should be paying us rent. She's here a lot.
Jamie is going to be moving in, sweetheart. You're going to have to find another place to live now.
What? She's 26.
She's 30.
That's my age.
You're 31 now.
Okay, barely.
Look, she's an adult. That's the point.
She collects rainbow magnets.
She likes
for
me.
The wrong reasons.
Well, they're right enough for me.
I'm appalled, Dad. I'm appalled.
I'm feeling happy for the first time in quite a while.
You know what? I think this is just a validation thing. I do. I think you should start spinning again. I've been thinking about it.
Carol,
and I
love you, but let me tell you something.
And you
You're not
going
to be able to talk me out of this, okay? Jamie printed me out an article from Yahoo Health. It was all about enabling. And I realized at that point, I cannot continue to support your emotional handicap.
I understand.
Let me finish, okay?
Okay.
Sometimes I get the feeling I've done all I could for you, kid. I mean, I've let you share my crash pad with me for years. I shared all my contacts in the biz with you. Listen, if I could break you off a piece of this voice and give it to you, I would. But I can't, because that's an impossible conceit. And the truth of the matter is, it probably wouldn't help you anyway, because let's face it, the industry does not crave a female sound.
Yeah, Dad, you may be painfully aware of that my whole life.
Not being sexist, that's just the truth.
Okay.
This whole voice-cracking problem you've grown into isn't doing any favors either. But here's what I'm trying to say, sweetheart, okay? You should stick with the accents. I mean, that's your thing. That's what you're good at. What was that great, that Russian Star Wars thing you used to do as a kid?
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. But, Dad, can we...
No, what was it?
It was... don't make me do it right
now. Come on.
I don't want to do it right now.
Please, let me hear it.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
just love that. It's so random.
It's so random.
Oh. I just want to tell you, forgive me for interrupting. Lake, I didn't know Lake very well when this whole thing came about. She gave my agent the script, and I read it, which is the usual way it works with actors. But I read that line. This was in the first scene that I read. I read the line, Jamie printed me out an article from Yahoo Health. It was all about enabling. I read that. I said, I have to do this role. I got to be this guy.
Oh, God.
What a schmuck. I have to play this.
Oh, my God.
And you're very, very good in it. And I mentioned I mentioned that Sip has a cameo in there, and as do other voiceover guys. I think I recognized Mark Elliott, the voice of Disney,
yes,
in there.
Yes, the voice of Disney. We're in that scene together. The VO, the voiceover party scene,
yeah,
which I love when the mixers are talking about, really? You really want to go to a voiceover party? I'm sick and tired of waiting in line at the bathroom and listening to the voice of Cialis hitting on the voice of the Virgin American, you know, answering.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God.
Voice on hold,
voice
the Virgin
on hold,
America.
Yes. And I also want to say something that, you know, there is the bravery of, you know, running into a burning building to save a puppy. And then there's Fred Melamed's steam room scenes in this movie where he bears all,
yes,
in a world.
And Fred, I hope you don't mind my mentioning this, because I mentioned it on the air last week, and I actually put it in my written review as well. I think you beat Robin Williams in a hairiest man contest.
I think I'd probably beat the missing link in a hairiest man contest. I'm tempted to tell people if that was makeup, that they scraped a rug off and glued it to me, but in fact, that is the way I was made by God or whoever did it.
All right, again, nothing, I don't mean to insult you in any way here, but...
No, not at all.
I'm curious, when you do that scene in bed with that young actress who plays your girlfriend, did she know ahead of time that she'd be running her hand through a
forest?
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure if she knew ahead of time, but I know she had to get completely drunk to do it. I don't blame her at all. She's a lovely girl, a lovely actress, by the way, called Alexandra Holden, who I just adore. And she was a very, very good sport for getting in bed with me without being married to me.
Yeah. She's in it. Rob Corddry is in it. Dimitri Martin, Tig Notaro, Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec. Gina Davis has a small role in the movie. But let's get to the core question of the movie to both of you, which is, I know that Randy Thomas has been the voice of the Oscars, but are there any other women who have been the voice of big movie trailers?
Well, there's only one really in history in the voice of movie trailers, which is a highly specific but highly important niche. A woman called Melissa Disney, well known in our business, was briefly elevated to that status. She did a movie about maybe 8 or 9 years ago called Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Which you might remember. Unfortunately, the movie itself was gone in about 60 seconds. Had it not happened that way, had that movie been a big success, it's quite possible that, you know, she could have opened the door for more people, more women, that is, in the business. But it wasn't, and I don't think there's another woman who's done too much since.
No, not too much. And of course, Melissa has gone on to do, you know, have a wonderful career, and she works all the time in all different genres. But, you know, truthfully, Paul, where women really shine nowadays is in live announcing. The Emmys, the Grammys, all of those big live shows, almost every show has a female announcer, which took a long time to happen, and I think it's wonderful. I mean, it's great, so... The women are the top dog there for live announcing.
And you do hear women on many, many promos and commercials as well, although not certainly they're underrepresented, I would say, still. Mm-hmm. But in the particular world that this movie talks about, which is the world of movie trailers, they're heinously underrepresented still.
Yes.
We started talking here about Don LaFontaine because he is the basic reason that the movie heads down the path that it does. And Joe, I know that you and Don were very, very close friends, and he was almost a mentor to you, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, I almost spent a lifetime with Don, you know. He and I worked at Fox together from when it first went on the air back in 1987. He did all the dramas. I did all the comedy. So we really spent hours upon hours every day together. And when we weren't at Fox, we would see each other at different studios around the city 2 or 3 times a day. You know, the good old days when we used to go in and voice actors would, you know, be sitting on the couch in the lobby and just, you know, sharing coffees and talking. But Don helped me through some really devastating career things that happened to me. He kind of picked me up by the scruff of the neck, I guess, and helped me through. And actually, what I had mentioned earlier about doing the drama voice at NBC, it came right around the time we had that interview, Paul, that was with you, me, and Don LaFontaine. Mm-hmm. When Don said to me, listen, this is a catastrophic thing had happened. I had lost a huge gig and more than half of my income was gone. And he said, listen, the voice that you're talking in right now is very different from your comedy voice. You ought to explore that voice. And I did. And I ended up getting the job at NBC using an entirely different voice that I had never used before. So he was a mensch.
Yeah, I think it's important to say for people that have never been exposed to him as a man, even though they may know his voice, he was an unusual person, not just because he was so talented, but he was a deeply, deeply generous guy. That was just his nature. And not everybody who's at the top of the heap in our business is that way. So he really stood out. He was generous with his time. He was generous with his money. He was just that was just the way he was. He was encouraging to new people to get into the business. So he's a very, very fondly remembered. And in fact, one of the great things that he did was he left money, and other people, since in his memory, have also done a lot, left money to start a lab that the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists runs for people who want to get into the voiceover world. Mm-hmm. There's one here in L.A. that's currently working, and very shortly there's going to be one in New York, too. He was really responsible for that. They call it the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab, and Joe has been personally responsible for raising quite a lot of money and a lot of awareness about that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful way to give actors an opportunity to learn about voiceover. I'm one of the co-founders, along with Paul Pape and Don's engineer, George Whittam. And we have great support from the voiceover community, the acting community here, and excited that it's going to branch out now. And we'll have one in New York City as well, and hopefully other cities around the country.
Sip, do you have any idea? We've probably talked about this in the past, how jealous I am of you. I mean, what Fred does for movie stuff and the network stuff he's done is unbelievable. But because I know you, I've always been jealous of you because I wanted to be that guy. I actually got a chance to be kind of a fill-in booth announcer a couple of times, recording stuff. And I mean, I always wanted to be. I mean, I go back to the days where there was this guy who used to do the promos for the Mike Douglas Show in the 70s. And he always sounded like he was on a first-name basis with whoever the guest star was. Like if Kirk Douglas was going to be tomorrow's guest, he would never say Kirk Douglas. He'd just say, Kirk, with Mike, tomorrow. And I thought, that's the greatest job in the world. Jesus, well, with Oprah tomorrow. I want to be that guy.
Well, Paul, you're still young. I mean, it can still happen. So hang in there.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's a great gig. And I ended up working at Fox. I had done some voiceover work in movie trailers early on in the 80s. I was the voice of the trailers for Fast Times at Ridgemont High and a couple of the teen movies, Porky and things like that. But I happened to be on the air on Kiss FM in Los Angeles one afternoon, and the head of marketing for this new Fox network was driving home and happened to hear me on the radio and said, now there's a voice that really would sound great imaging our network. And that's how I started at Fox some 25 years ago this month.
Wow. Yeah. Fred, did you ever do radio?
I did. I was telling Joe this morning, I actually started out in radio. I was in college. I went to Hampshire College, which is in Amherst, Massachusetts, and I did a transcription of a play in a radio station. That is, we made a little radio play out of the play. Mm-hmm. And the guy that was the manager of the station, I was 20 years old at the time, guy who was the manager said to my professor, is that guy interested in working in radio? Because I think he has a good voice. So, The professor explained to me the opportunity. It was to do promos. That is, not to have a shift, not to be a DJ as Joe was, but to just do promos for this NPR station, doing both classical and jazz music. And it was great because I got to learn production. I learned how to make promos, you know, myself. Mm-hmm. Record my own voice tracks, then listen to the records or the tapes, select the bits from that and put it all together. So I did start out in radio, but I was not a personality as Joe was. I was merely a promo voice, and that was how I started, in fact.
So there's still hope for us.
Absolutely.
Always.
Fred also got great reviews when he had a major role in the Coen Brothers movie A Serious Man back in 2009. Wow. And did a nice job there. And I want to get the plug in again today. Unfortunately, the movie is only showing at one theater here in the St. Louis area. It's the Tivoli, which is in University City, a great old movie house. And I really recommend people go see this movie, In a World. It is funny. It is, in a world where every movie is an action-adventure full of explosions and CGI, or a raunchy comedy that rips off The Hangover, or a romantic comedy that's not romantic and not funny. It is a pleasure to see a funny, original story that offers a view of a corner of show business that heretofore has been unexplored. I really mm-hmm. enjoyed it, and congratulations on that, Fred.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. And I just want to say a brief thing about Lake Bell, who we both know.
Yeah.
She's really a signal talent, a remarkable talent. She's 34, which is by my standards a pretty young person. But it's very rare to meet somebody who's really good at one thing. You know, a really good actor or director or writer. She does all these things so well. It just shocked me. The former head of Disney. Tweeted about her the other day and said she's like Woody Allen was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
She has this ability to just capture what's real and also make it funny. She's just a terrific, terrific talent.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud to have been a part of this.
I think we're going to hear a lot more from her going forward. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I do, too.
I've only got a minute left here, and I got to finish with a question for you, Joe. Does it bother you that people may not hear you as much because with DVRs they're skipping through commercials or binge watching on DVDs later?
It doesn't at all, because the check's still clear. And no, but seriously, I never really think about that. It's just such a great gig to be able to, represent some of these shows that, are so funny and so popular. And it's just a thrill to do it. And I do a lot of in-show stuff, for example, like America's Got Talent. You'll hear me at the top of that show doing the introduction of Nick Cannon. I work on Hollywood Game Night with Jane Lynch, which is fun. Mm-hmm. So I get to do a lot of in-show stuff that not a lot of people will zip through on their DVR. So
that's great.
I'm still in there.
Yeah. Guys, I appreciate your time today so much, and congratulations on all
Thanks,
the success.
Paul.
Thank you so much. A real
Thanks
pleasure.
Thanks very much.
Fred Melamed, Joe Cipriano, two great voices, two great guys joining us here on the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon, Friday edition on the Big 550 KTRS.